All right, are we rocking and rolling here? I have my, yes, we are. We still have a problem there with camera number two. And the camera works. The thing that I cannot figure out is it's on battery. It shouldn't be. It should be drawing the current directly from the wall. It's plugged in. But it keeps giving this charged battery, and then it dies. And I don't know what that is, man. I have to take it off. I got to take it off of the mount and inspect it up close.
Oh, fuck.
So this should be a live stream. I tweeted it out.
I don't know if...
And you should kill your brother. Do 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 woo woo woo. Wait a minute, I'm just gonna retweet some. I'll be right with you. This thing I'm watching, ESPN 30, you know, or 30 by, I forget what it's called. It's pretty sad. It's about the fucking Colombian soccer team, and I don't know what it is. Some bullshit. One of the players got killed or something. It wasn't the goalie that got killed that time. It was something else. All right, so let me go over here to the show account. Then we enter in Phil Hendry. Oh, no, not wrong. Go over to the Phil Hendry account. We enter in the show account. I'll tell you some in a second here. I was at dinner last night at my ex's house, and I got really fucking drunk. God damn, Jack. I mean, fucked up. I had to sleep it off there before I could get in the car and, you know, drive home. And then I got home and I went back to sleep, and I felt like shit when I woke up. Just like shit. And Maria tweets me today. She goes, "That's what you get for drinking 51% agave." And I went, "Oh, fuck. You know, really? Is that it?" Because that's what I drink with those goddamn Mexican mules at 51% agave, as opposed to 100% agave. No way am I, you know. So I'm going to have to quit drinking Mexican mules then, because I'm not going to put goddamn Don Julio in there. That's for sure. Although there's 100% agave that she drinks, it's called Ornitos, but it doesn't come in a silver. It only comes in a reposado. I'll tell you one thing. Ornitos is fantastic for margaritas. I'm just giving you all the lowdown here on tequilas for, you know, Ornitos is a great margarita tequila, but I wouldn't, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's too heavy for a mule, man. All right. Basically, what's really sad about this whole thing is that, you know, Escobar had something to do with, this is, you know, Escobar, before we moved to the, I don't know what it is. Fuck, I don't give a shit. All right, man, so here we are. Lots of shit we got to do this week. We got, you know, more of the website news to give you, and that will probably begin on Tuesday, so I can break into some of that stuff. And we'll give you, you know, it's beginning to heat up a little bit here. Can't give any more information than that. I got chastised a little bit by our web guys saying, no. Don't ask to, well, how about, you know, so, however, what I told you guys about, some of you cats helping with the beta testing. Yes, that's absolutely true. How and when that'll roll out though is still being, determined, my boys and girls. I think with the new, with getting this camera fixed, we'll get the studio, we'll do a new look in the studio here. I mean, in other words, you know, start to move some of these awkward things about the lights and so forth. Okay, what a week. I had a lot of shit that I did last week in terms of, you know, auditions and that kind of work and voiceover and everything. I'm trying to think of, did anybody get in touch with me? No. And then there was the whole thing with Marley that I explained to you guys on Friday night. Trying to make time so I could get over to see him and then not being able to get over to see him, and then trying to make, you know, and blowing out doctor's appointments that, you know, I could push to this week, which is what I'm going to do so I could get over to see him. And I'd never worked out. And then finally I got in touch with a trainer, and I said, you know, now let me ask you a question, because what I had planned on doing was picking him up this weekend and then taking him over to Maria's so he could hang out with all of us. And Millie is the name of her dog. And they told me, they said, you need 48 hours straight with him, you know, just you and him. I said, okay, cool. But we want to make sure that, you know, is your house, is it safe? You know, that's part of the rescue thing. I go, oh, by all means, you know, it totally is safe. And then I realized that he had depth perception problems. And I have stairs, and they're laminate stairs. They're a kind of a faux wood. And so that worried me. And in conversations with these guys, I said, you know, there aren't 2 days I can put together where I'm not gone from the house at least 5 hours. Not two days. So they're like, every other day I'm gone. So every other day he'd have to be, you know, alone, crated in the crate, you know. And it hit me, you know. What am I doing here, man? Am I going to be making an animal uncomfortable just so I can feel great about I don't want to feel great about rescuing. I really did care about this guy, but you don't want to love somebody to death, right? You know, and so I left him. I texted her, and I texted, you know, I texted the guys that I was getting him from, and, you know, I don't know whether they're pissed at me or not or what. I mean, I didn't hear from anybody, but it's probably because people are busy. And but I did say, I laid it out as clearly and as extensively as I could, my concerns and my fears. And that in some instances, I would be gone more than 5 hours, especially coming up this part of the year. I would be gone 12 hours, maybe 2 days in a row. Where am I going to, you know, he's, like I said, he was a very badly injured animal, a rescue animal. I'm going to bring in some dog sitter, some shit. I mean, that dog deserves a human, a loving human 24/7, you know. I mean, that dog is a special dog. And so, I don't know, man. Maybe that's why I got so fucking hammered last night. But we had a great dinner. We had tri-tip, red potatoes. And here's the other thing. I can't have these dinners. I can't bust 235. I'm trying to lose this motherfucking weight again. And I'm stuck at 235. And I want to get down to 210. I got 25 fucking pounds to go. That's 2 months. I should have been there by now. What happens is the weekend comes around, and now I'm going out for these dinners. I can't do it. If I'm going to go to dinner, it's going to have to be frickin' salads, man. And that's it. That is it. I once knew a squirrel. All right, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Are you the one who's hairy? I better, Marine's nude photo sharing scandal prompts calls for justice. What the fuck? 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit, man the rails. Oh. Huh. The two Escobars. That's the name of this 30-30 thing. I don't know, man. It's kind of a bummer. It's a bunch of fucking goddamn shit from that goddamn part of the world. Of course, everybody's got their shit now. I'm wondering what to do, because we're coming back new. I wonder if we got to do a Kenny Slag, but Kenny Slag needs to have a hook. I'm Kenny Slag, and welcome back to Kenny Slag's Principles of Abundance in the 21st Century, and welcome back to the Kenny Slag Kaleidoscope of Possibility, with pictures and words. Well, you know what I had to do? I had to take the general back to that voice so we could bring Lloyd back. Because, well, I'll tell you, Phil, these are very interesting things. Now, then, you know.
All right. Lloyd Bonham, General.
I'm right here, yes, sir.
General, I thank Christ you've changed your voice back so I can be heard and,
I'm strutting my stuff, y'all. Every day and every night, y'all. Well, I don't know, man. Every dance, freaks and fairies. Tell me where is sanity? What? I did that, man. Yeah, here it is. Well, I've heard everything that I could hear. Done everything that I done. So in love with you. That's grotesque, man. They're showing some pretty graphic shit here. On this, like a car bomb and all kinds of fucking body parts laying. Jesus Christ. Inside Trump's fury. Washington Post. Spent the weekend at the Winter White House, Mar-a-Lago, the secluded Florida. He permitted kidnappers. What are you saying? This, the thing about Pablo Escobar, where one of his people is saying he... I don't think I read this right. He prohibited kidnapping, it says. So, doesn't that go against what we supposedly know about Pablo Escobar? He prohibited... Pablo had prohibited kidnappings, says this one eyewitness or person that they're interviewing. He ran the underworld with complete order. Okay, anything illegal, you asked for Pablo's permission. And meanwhile, the Colombian soccer team is having to get ready for the World Cup. And I think this is leading up to the World Cup where they lost to the U.S. This may be 94, maybe. It may be 94, I don't know. But they lost to the United States in the World Cup in 94. And it cost that young man, that goaltender, his life. I read up on that, though. It wasn't just some guy that came up and assassinated him. It started in the bar, and it started as a kind of an argument. So it was an escalation thing. It wasn't just, there's that goalie, bang. It was, they're in the bar, and they see the goalie, and I'm sure that, you know, words start to get exchanged. I don't know what, I love that phrase, words were exchanged. Who knows? I'm not saying the guy deserved to die. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that it appears to have been the result of an argument as opposed to just a cold-blooded assassination, which is how it was reported to when I first heard it. Didn't you hear it that way? The guy's coming out of a discotheque or a bar, a dance joint or some shit, some bistro, and he gets popped in the street. That's how I'd heard it initially, so... It's terrible. I felt horrible when I heard that, because it was an own goal. An own goal is when you knock the goal in by mistake for the other team. And he was the goaltender for Colombia, and he knocked the ball into his own goal. There'd been a lot of, and it happens. It happens a lot in soccer, all the fucking time. You know, there's a lot of activity and action in front of the net. The ball will carom off of someone. You know, you didn't mean it to. You know, it's tough to see. It's getting batted around, and it bounced off of him. I think I recall. Was that at the Coliseum or at the Rose Bowl? Was it here in L.A.? I think it was. Anyway, last week I will tell you I was so inspired watching and listening to those shows. I just was really. I this is just me. But I was really impressed with those shows. They were funny as shit. They were loaded with material. And I believe they were all an hour. And I think the show being at 50 minutes and sometimes at 40 minutes is reflective of an increase in work I'm doing in other areas. And so I've got to find a way to, I want to get the show back to that hour. I really honestly do. And I got to find a way to get that done and get it prepped properly while still taking care of the other stuff that I'm doing, which, you know, the hell, man, the times we live in, you know, everybody's out making a dollar. I just am cracking the voiceover thing. It's tough, man. It's very competitive. Even though, you know, supposedly I'm Phil Hendry and all this shit, doesn't matter, man. There's people going to hang on. And obviously, I don't mean that they aren't worthy. Of course they are. They're phenomenal. So there's a lot of people that you have to kind of get past to get into consistent work in that area. It's funny. I talked to some of these young actors, like when I was taking that audition class, and they we talk about doing voiceover, and they go, man, that's the one thing I really want to do. I think they think that it's easy money. It really isn't. It's, like I said, very competitive. But hopefully I can have a career like Peter Thomas. I'm partially kidding. Peter Thomas is like 95, and he's still doing it. He's still doing it. And his voice is just as beautiful as it's ever been. He's 95, and he's still doing voiceover, and he voices, you know, Forensic Files. That's his voice on Forensic Files on Discovery Channel. Or excuse me, on Headline News, I think. Shit, I should be so lucky, you know. That means when I was listening to him doing voiceover for the 84 Olympics, he was already approaching 60. Wow. You'd recognize his voice. All right. Oh, man, you know what? Always fucking this up. The fuck is this? What the fuck? Come on, motherfucker. Why is that doing that, bloody kaffa? Man, we had a freak storm roll through this morning. I looked out the window and I saw just like a black sky, but there was sun coming from this side of the house and it was pitch black here. And I went, oh, fuck, the end of the world. It was one of those weird looking skies. And the next thing you know, this, that's great, huh? That works. What do you think? Fan-fucking-tastic! That's what was pissing me off. I kept getting this... What is going on here? What is this shit? What? I already printed that motherfucker. Did it... Okay, Medjet. May I... touch your hand in mine. Someone. Jackie Watts. City needs 2 years before it can treat its own water. That's Flint. Well, let's see. Pastor William Rennick. Jimmy Kimmel gives Oscars taste of another trick. Hollywood is often accused of existing in its own bubble that bears little resemblance to the world at large. So when it comes to the film industry's biggest night, it's no surprise the hosts of the Academy Awards often go to great lengths to prove it's just the opposite. Jimmy Kimmel, his stunt wasn't exactly new, though. In 2014, host Ellen DeGeneres had an unsuspecting delivery man distribute pizza in the auditorium, and he ended up with a $1,000 tip for his troubles. Chris Rock, host last year, brought out a local Girl Scout troop to sell cookies to hungry millionaires. In Kimmel's version, the unsuspecting tourists came into the ceremony and were immediately brought in front of the crowd. The host asked their and let them touch the Oscar. What's the problem with that? I don't understand. Man, oh fucking man, if I get out of this one alive. Whew. Unreal. Testing 1, 2, 3. Touch your hand in mine. Why won't that print? Well, that's... Oh, okay. All right. Girl, I've been searching for someone Everton lost to Tottenham, and it was not a not a good day. I didn't even watch the rest of the piece of shit. When they went up 2-0, I went, ah, fuck this, because I know Everton well enough to know they're not going to, you know, look at, if any of those teams other than the top six want to win a Premier League title, then get fucking serious and get some goddamn, put some money out there and get some players, okay? And pay your coaches, the managers, so they stick around. What is, I just heard that this guy, Koeman, who coaches Everton, is now possibly up for the Barcelona job. What the fuck is that, man? Are you a big-time fucking football club, or are you not? Letting guys just come and go like that. Lukaku, he's openly talking about him going to Chelsea, or he's going to go off to Europe. He's the number one goal scorer in the league. He's tied with, I think, Harry Kane and Sanchez. Everton has the number one fucking goal scorer in the league. Not that the rest of those motherfuckers couldn't put one in the net. If it was Moby fucking Dick, and they had a Moby Dick. All right. Let's get this shit going. All right. Excuse me. Jesus Christ. Ready, set,